Torah heading into Shavuos. Huge thank you and a tremendous yasher koach to Mrs. Emma Katz. Emma has done a phenomenal job, as everyone here knows, this year with Neely, and this pandemic has been no exception to that. So thank you to Emma for this program and all the other amazing programs that you've been working on. And also a shout out and thank you to Tamar Shamas, who has been ably assisting all of us on the Neely side. So thank you to both of you. Thank you, everybody, for coming. There is a chat function on this, so if you want to chat, feel free to put it in, but I have no idea if I'll be able to figure it out how to read it. I think everybody right now is muted, but if you want to ask a question, feel free to unmute yourself or to tap the person next to you. I'm excited to learn together. We're getting ready for Shavuos. We have tonight's Neely Mishmar. We have tomorrow night, late night Mishmar, open to men and women. And please God, on Thursday morning, Erev Yontif, you're going to be getting an email from the Kollel with a ton of amazing resources for adults, for men, for women, for kids. There's going to be a separate Neely email. So thank you all for participating. There is a tradition that we have, which, please God, we will maintain this year despite the challenges and the distance of not being in our regular congregations. And that is the recitation of the book, the Megillah of Rus. Megillas Rus. And why is it? Does anybody have a suggestion? Why is it that we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos? So I can't see you, but I'm happy to take shout outs or raised hands or chats. Anybody know why is it that we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos?
Some people say because Ruth was a convert and she accepted the Torah, and so too on Shavuot we all accepted the Torah. It's the time of Kabbalah Torah.
Awesome, thank you. I don't know who that was. There was an anonymous voice. Should I ask who it was or no?
It's Connor Minkus, Edinburgh.
Hi, Connor Minkus, Edinburgh. Thank you for sharing that. So, yeah, that is an interesting suggestion. One of the models for conversion, maybe the ultimate model for conversion that the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos deals with, is the process of the Jewish people becoming a nation at Har Sinai. So when a ger, when a convert becomes a member of the Jewish people, they go through a process which requires for men a milah, a circumcision, tevila, immersing in a mikvah, and that happened at Har Sinai before the end of Parshas Mishpatim, when there was blood that was being sprinkled on us. We had to immerse in the mikvah, and bringing a sacrifice, bringing a carbon, which we don't do today for modern day conversions. The Gemara explains why, but in the time of Har Sinai, they brought carbonos. So you'll notice we became converts on Shavuos, just like Rus became a convert. Anybody here know what is the gematria of the name Rus, or Root, or Ruth?
Six.
Who might that have been?
Charlene Appleson.
Hey, doctor, you are spot on. Do you think that number has some significance now?
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, because if you take the 7 Noahide laws that all of mankind is obligated in and you add 606, what do you get?
613.
Bingo. So some suggest, I have a fascinating, amazing sefer that I got used somewhere. Someone offered it to me. A tremendous set of resources. It's called Sefer HaMoadim, published in the 1950s in Tel Aviv. And he quotes here some always very interesting, strange Sfarim. He quotes here from a Tshuva Schein, a Likutim from Rav Gedalia of Lunitz, who says, that's why we read Rus, because Rus is 606 plus the 7 Noahide laws. We get to 613 mitzvos that we accepted upon ourselves at Sinai as part of our conversion. How about that? Amazing. Okay, that's one reason why we read Megillas Rus. What might be another reason that we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos?
Because she was the ancestor of David HaMelech, and he was born on Shavuos.
Awesome. Thank you. Doc, I think that was you again. I can't see anybody. We're just going all in here. David HaMelech is the focal point of the end of the book, where we go through his entire genealogy, his lineage, and Ruth is the progenitor. Boaz is the great-great Alter Zeta, the great-great-grandfather of David HaMelech. And the tradition is that David HaMelech was born on Shavuos, and he died on Shavuos. David HaMelech is, in some respects, synonymous with the holiday of Shavuos, and that's another great reason to read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. Anybody else? Why else might we read the book of Rus on Shavuos? Any other guesses? Now, one second, I figured out how to see who's on this call. I can call on people by name, because you can't hide that, unless you want to say, like, you're putting someone else's name on your thing, because you can rename yourself. All right, who else?
Rabbi Brand?
Yeah.
Rabbi Brand? So, I think even just recently, that the story of Ruth is about chesed, like the ultimate chesed that Ruth showed to Naomi, and really the Torah that we get on Shavuos is, we're supposed to learn the principal value of chesed for the Jewish people.
Beautiful. Who is that chiming in? I'm sorry, I couldn't see.
Oh, sorry. Faye Myers.
Hi. Okay. So yeah, there is a beautiful medrash in the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah says that this book, although we're going to see in a little bit that there's another medrash that totally disagrees with this. The Medrash has a line in the Rabbah: Lo iser velo heter, lo tomi velo tar, ela litein schar legomle chasodim. The whole purpose of this is to show what merit we have to be balei chesed, and chesed is the yesod. It's the building block upon which all of the world, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, but of course, that's rooted in the Ribono Shel Olam's act of Chesed to create the world, and as a foundational principle of Yiddishkeit, V'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, you could argue, is really an expression of Chesed. Yeah, for sure, awesome. Any last calls? Anybody else want to chime in? Why it is that we read the story of Rus on Shavuos? Okay, so here's one more that appears in many Mefarshim. When does the story of Rus, the romance between Rus and Boaz, when did that take place? Where was Boaz sleeping? He was sleeping out in, what's that?
The threshing floor?
That's right. I don't know who that was, but that's right. He was sleeping out in the Goren. He was sleeping out like when you drive. Let's say everything is a frame of reference to where you are. So I see some of the people on this call are local Chicagoans. I see one strong reference here to the great state of Indiana. So if you drive, let's say, from Chicago to Indianapolis, you pass a bunch of farms and you see giant silos out there in the middle of nowhere. Same thing in Wisconsin or in southern Illinois. So these farms, they're huge expanse, massive tracts of land. And if you want to protect what you have in your silo, you got to sleep there. And that's where Boaz was sleeping. And that's why Ruth went to find Boaz that fateful night in the Goren. So it was at the time, the Pasuk says, Betchilas Ktzir Seorim, is the time of the harvest. And what is Shavuos referred to as? Chag HaKatzir, the holiday of the harvest. So that's a third reason. Number one, the reason of converts. Number two, the day of David HaMelech. Number three, it was the time. Number four, Mrs. Myers mentioned about the issue of Chesed. Another one, there is this, you saw that the Torah was knit in Ayde Yisur, and people have to make sacrifices for Judaism. But I'd like to consider tonight one other approach to the message and the meaning and the way that we can incorporate the concept and the main themes, you could argue, of Megillas Rus into our own lives, thinking about it on Shavuos. What exactly did we receive at the Torah, at the giving of the Torah at Maimon Har Sinai? So the first thing that we received, if you will ask any child, is that we received the Luchos, the Aseres Hadibros. The Aseres Hadibros, which, according to our four-year-old at home, Avi Brand, is referred to in his language as the 10 Good Rules, which until this year, I never heard of that. And I thought that's such a cute way of Hillel Torah kindergarten translating Aseres HaDibros, the 10 good rules. So we got the Aseres HaDibros at Sinai. We got lots of other laws. According to Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, all the details were given to us at Sinai. We got Klolim, we got what we call Midos. At the end of the first section of Davening, which is referred to as the Korbanos, there is a paragraph there, Rabbi Yishmael Omer. So I don't know how many people have the opportunity to say that paragraph when they daven. Maybe now you have that chance to say it when you daven now because there's more time for davening for some people because the schedules are different. But either way, Rabbi Yishmael taught there were 13 rules, 13 principles by which you can interpret the Torah. Those were given to us at Sinai. So tons of laws. Right after Parshas Yisro is Parshas Mishpatim. So all the civil laws, all of the laws regarding how we conduct ourselves, everything was given at Sinai. Zillions and zillions of laws. Even though the Rambam says, based on the Gemara in Maseches Makos, there were 613. We know there are tons more than 613. There are only 613 in one count. So 613 laws and a bunch more. And then we received something else at Sinai. We didn't just receive laws of what to do. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect of us? We also learned something about our character. We learned about values. We learned about how to conduct ourselves, how to lead our lives. We have a Masechta in Shas. This Masechta, this tractate, is referred to as Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos, maybe you could say, is it literally means chapters of the fathers. But what it really is a collection of ethical teachings. That's what Pirkei Avos is all about. It's what kind of people we want to be and what kind of people we should become. What kind of people do we want to aspire to become? How do we want to lead our lives? And that's one of the reasons some of Farshim say that Pirkei Avos began with the phrase Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai U'Mesaro LeYehoshua, because you might have thought maybe somebody, what happened? Maybe somebody would have thought that you still there? Am I still there? I don't know what just happened. Am I still here? I don't know what just happened. I don't know if you could, do you see me?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I don't know what happened here. Just turning the thing. You might have thought that maybe only the halacha, only the law Moshe Rabbeinu was given at Sinai, Kamash Malan, we're going to teach you that no, Moshe Rabbeinu also received the principles, the ethics, the morals, the values. And that's why you have to start Pirkei Avos with a paragraph that says, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai U'Mesaro LeYehoshua, and he gave it to Yehoshua. Because also the values were given to us. Perhaps that's why, in preparation for Matan Torah, many people over the last 6 weeks have been studying Pirkei Avos on Shabbos afternoon. Because Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Because how we live our lives is a prerequisite for receiving the Torah. Okay, so if this is true, that what we received from Moshe Rabbeinu, what God gave us directly at Sinai, was a composite. It was a basket of laws and values of the what to do and the how to do it. Then maybe we can understand a new... One second, what's it saying? The audio is a little schwach, yes. I am having some connectivity problems, it's telling me over here. Oh, I'm sorry, hold on. Yeah, I'm having connectivity problems. Okay, we're going to try to go weiter, and then I don't know what else to say. Sometimes my Yiddishkeit feels like I'm having connectivity problems. All right. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it, but this is what I've got at the moment. I apologize. We'll try to plow through it together. If what we're saying is that at Har Sinai we were given a composite of what and how, of laws and values, perhaps the reason why we need to read Megillas Rus on this day is because we want to understand that these laws and values are meant to be lived. And therefore, it's taught to us through a story. If we only had Matan Torah standing at a mountain in a vacuum, just out there, so maybe we could have said, or we would have said, yes, this is a theoretical construct. Theoretically, these are the laws that you perform. Theoretically, when you're standing on a mountaintop, when there's thunder and lightning, you should have these values. But what does that have to do with the everyday life? Where does that play out in the narrative of the common man? The answer is a simple story of a family that had highs and lows, successes and failures and challenges and struggles. It was a journey for this family, different family members, different dynamics, back and forth. That's the story of Megillas Rus. And within that story, you find exactly these two principles. It's fascinating, at least to me, that the story, the Megillah of Rus, this of the five Megillot, the Chamesh Megillot, has the most law content of any other Megillah. We learn more halachos, practical laws, in the book of Rus than we do of any other book. So, for example, the principle that we have, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that there is a halacha that we're supposed to wear distinct Shabbos clothing. In the time of Chazal, in the time of the sages, the people were so poor, Nebuch, they couldn't afford a change of clothes, so they would actually change the style of their clothing. They would change the style of their clothing by, if you go with cuffed pants, and on Shabbos you would go uncuffed. And if you go uncuffed during the week, your Shabbos, you would cuff your pants. What's the source for this idea of big day Shabbos, of wearing special Shabbos clothes? It's learned from Megillas Rus. Because the Pasuk says, V'rachast v'sacht v'samsim osayich alayich. Rus is told, she's instructed by Naomi, please go down and wash and anoint yourself and put on your clothing. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Of course you're going to put on your clothing. Guess what? It's not just any clothing. It's Shabbos clothing. And we learn from this that you have to wear special clothing for Shabbos. We learn the laws of Geirus, as someone mentioned earlier, in the context of Rus, where Amech Ami Velokayach Elokai, my nation is your nation, my God is your God, the whole process, the model of how you relate to a convert, that first you discourage them, then you accept them. We have a reference here to the laws of Yibum, because of the passing of Elimelech and the transfer of his field, and Rus losing her husband and then marrying Boaz. Then perhaps the most important halachic principle that we learn from this is something called a kinyan chalipin, an exchange type of acquiring. So for example, let's say I want to sell you my yarmulke. So I could sell you my yarmulke. You can either give me money or you can give me something in exchange. So you can give me, I don't know, a handkerchief for my yarmulke. Or when do you see a kinyan chalipin? You can take upon yourself an obligation. Kalev Shalkona, if the acquiring party gives something for the person to raise up, so then that's okay. So you see this every time at a wedding. The husband, the soon-to-be husband, the groom, he's standing at the chasen tish, and they read him the ksuba, and the ksuba says that he obligates himself to his soon-to-be wife for a very serious amount of money, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. Well, what creates that obligation? So usually the rabbi has a handkerchief or a pen or a yarmulke, so he represents the bride, the kala, and he says to the chasen, if you pick this up through the act of a kinyan chalipin, of an exchange, by you exchanging, picking up this kippa or this cloth or this pen, you are accepting upon yourself the hischaivus, the obligation to your wife through the ksuba. That's called a kinyan chalipin, an acquisition of exchange. That is learned from this story of Megillas Rus. Because when Boaz comes to the town square, and the Pasuk says, this was a practice in the Jewish community, a person takes off his shoe and gives it to his fellow. The Gemara has a debate, who's taking off the shoe, the seller or the buyer? The conclusion of the Gemara is that it's the buyer who takes off his shoe and he gives it to the seller. So one major chunk of Megillas Rus is halachic. The other major chunk of Megillas Rus is hashkafic, is values-based. What do we learn from the story of Rus? Not just what to do, but how to do it. How Naomi acts toward her daughter-in-law with chesed. How Boaz treats his workers. How he treats the poor people. How he treats this woman off the street. We learn about how not to act. How not to turn your back on your fellow Jews and run away in a time of famine. We learn about love, caring, compassion, chesed. Yes, we learn about the halachos of leket, of shechecha, and peah. Those halachos we learn, but we also learn about the value of chesed and what it means to be a baal chesed. And we learn all of these halachos and all of the values through a story, through someone's real life. Maybe we can suggest the reason why we want to read Megillas Rus on Shavuos is because on Shavuos we receive the laws and the values, and we want to say, I see it in someone else's story. I can see it in my own story. There's a way to lead a Jewish life, lead a Torah life, lead an inspired life on an everyday basis, to go through the vicissitudes, the ups and downs, the highs, the achievements, but also the challenges, to go through all the different aspects of life in a narrative, in a story, and integrate within those the mitzvos of Hashem and the values of Hashem, to live a divine life in our own story. Maybe that's why we read Megillas Rus, because when we stand there and we say, wow, all of these mitzvos, how do they apply to my life? All of these values, how do I apply them in my life? I say, oh, look at this family. Look at how they treated each other. Look at how they treated the stranger. Now I have an opportunity to read the Megillas Rus in my own life. Megillas Ploni Almoni. Megillas Ani. My Megillah. My story. What's my life story? Where do the laws of Sinai fit into my life story? Where do the values of Sinai fit into my life story? So yes, of course, it's the day of David HaMelech and the day of Chesed and the day of Geirus, of conversion. But perhaps it's the day of a story. It's the day of seeing the laws and the values of Torah being lived by a regular, ordinary, obviously they were extraordinary, but from one level of reading this book, just a regular, plain story. And for that, we are very grateful because we can relate to that and we can apply that in our own lives. Halavai, when we read the story of Rus this year, we can reflect as a mirror for ourselves. What about our ordinary lives can express, can celebrate, and can, please God, accentuate the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our laws, through our mitzvos, and through our values, through our midot.